Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're tuning in from one of our Minnesota radio stations, our national broadcast, or from a podcast platform, we are glad that you are here. Today we have guests from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And here to tee up the topics for us is the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA, Ms. Melanie Nelson. Melanie, wonderful to see you in the studio here today, and welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Doug. Glad to be back.
Yeah, well, Happy New Year to you. And, you know, it's great to see you, and it's really nice to have this opportunity for you to come in and really tee up the topics, because I know as a producer, it's tough work. You got to go out, you got to find guests, you got to round them up, you got to force them to come into the studio. And today you brought four guests for us today to talk about two separate topics. So I'm going to kick it to you and let you talk a little bit about
that. Thanks, Doug. Well, actually, we're going to be hearing from five guests in the next hour. I'm really laying it on thick here. So 2026 brings some new changes at the Minneapolis VA. And one of those changes is in our pharmacy department. In the first half of the show, we're going to meet a couple of great ladies who are going to tell us all about that. And then later in the show, we've brought our new chief of vascular surgery with us today. And he's got a couple telehealth programs that are really, really cool that we're going to learn about on the program.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, once again, you know, doing your job, I misspoke. I said four guests, but I forgot about our guests that'll be phoning in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a loaded show. So I think we should get right after it and talk to our first two guests. Now, do you want to do the honors or do you want me to make the introduction?
Oh, I'd love to introduce the two ladies in the studio with us today, Doug. First, we have Lisa Anderson. She serves as our chief of pharmacy at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Lisa earned her Doctor of Pharmacy degree from North Dakota State University and began her career as a retail pharmacist. In 2007, as I was, 2007, she transitioned to the Minneapolis VA, where she held multiple clinical leadership roles, and she was appointed as our chief of pharmacy in 2020. So that's Lisa. And then we have Stephanie Wallach is here as well. Stephanie earned her Doctor of Pharmacy degree from the University of Minnesota, and her career with the VA began in 2020. She has served as our program manager in outpatient pharmacy for about 3 years.
Awesome. Well, Lisa and Stephanie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Now, didn't Melanie do just a great job of introducing you?
She did.
Yeah, I think we'll bring her back and keep her around for a little while. Okay, we got a lot to talk about. We only have two segments together. But one of the things I always like to do when possible is just really try to understand why you know, someone chose the career that they did. And in this case specifically, what led you to the Minneapolis VA? So Lisa, how about if I start with you? Why the Minneapolis VA?
Well, really, the reason I chose to stay is probably more interesting than the reason I chose to come. So
let's go there.
The recommendation of a former colleague. I was in retail pharmacy, as Melanie mentioned, and looking for a change. And so I had no prior exposure to the VA, either in my student career or personal life. And so I sort of just jumped in, but quickly actually became enamored with working here and grew to love the position. So with veterans, it's pretty clear that it's not just patients at a healthcare center, it's a community. There's a lot of camaraderie, integrity, respect. It's really a rewarding population to work with, and I'm really grateful to be a part of that community. And then pharmacy, professionally, it's clear that the VA is a leader in pharmacy services in general. It's comprehensive. We offer all sorts of pharmacy services, outpatient prescriptions, patient education, mail order, IV compounding. The services are comprehensive and broad. But in addition, we have advanced practice pharmacists who serve in direct patient care roles, where they manage medications for patients for all sorts of things like high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, mental health pain. So that, in addition to the full integration into the system, it's really a great place to practice pharmacy.
And I'm guessing that all of those things you mentioned are things that you might not have had exposure to or experience with in the civilian world where you used to be a pharmacist. So, well, thank you for being here and for raising your hand, so to speak, to serve our veterans. We appreciate that. All right, Stephanie, what about you? What brought you to the VA?
Yeah, so my exposure to the VA started when I was a fourth-year pharmacy student. I was assigned a five-week rotation with a clinical pharmacist in the clinic setting. So Lisa had mentioned that we have pharmacists who provide care for diabetes, high blood pressure, some of those chronic conditions. And so I spent 5 weeks providing direct patient care to veterans. And it was really at that point that uncovered for me that I loved working with veterans. They just are so full of gratitude for the care that I was providing. And it was really rewarding work. And at that time, I decided I really wanted a career in serving the veterans in the future.
Well, thank you again, or as well, for, you know, raising your hand and dedicating your service to our veterans here. We really appreciate it. And here's what I know. The pharmacy, when I've had to receive some prescriptions, very responsive, and it's nice to just get that sent to you right in the mail, not have to go in to get anything. And so let's talk a little bit about the pharmacy and, you know, as you know, some of us like to say in the military, bottom line up front, right? So, Lisa, what's changing? You know, why are you here? Why did Melanie say you guys need to come in and talk about this pharmacy stuff? Because I think in general, we understand people can get prescriptions and so on and so forth, medications from, but there's some significant changes coming. Maybe you can address those for us.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to tag Stephanie in because she is the person leading up this new program that is being implemented. So I'm going to let her take that question.
That was great deflection work right there. All right, Stephanie.
Great job, Lisa. All right, so starting in January, we put QR codes on our prescription labels. So if you already filled a prescription at the Minneapolis VA pharmacy, you'll notice on the bottom right-hand corner of your prescription label, there's a QR code there. And that is going to be replacing physical prescription paperwork that we have traditionally sent along with all of the prescriptions. So we are transitioning from providing paper to going paperless.
Now, is it because, let's face it, 27 pages of information never gets read anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, so are you making this change because of some feedback you've received? Is it really an effort to be green, you know, and save our environment? What really was the driving decision here or information that drove you to that decision?
Yeah, I think all of the above to answer the question simply, but we're transitioning to a new federal health record, and some sites who have already transitioned had identified some opportunities to improve the veteran experience in that way and make filling times faster and just try and improve operations overall. So that was one component of it. They looked to get rid of paper to help improve operations. I think your point about saving trees and the green aspect of it, I can't tell you how many times throughout my day I hear a patient come and pick up their prescriptions and say, can you just shred that paperwork? I don't want it. I wish there was a way you didn't have to even print it.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. We're here now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll open up my envelope and go right into my office and put it into the shredder, the shredder. You know, I already know if you've been taking that medication for a while, you don't need to be told again what
exactly
the dosage should be or how to do it, right? You already
exactly
know.
Yes.
So I'm imagining then not only are we saving paper, but there's got to be a lot of time saved as well in the process of fulfilling a prescription.
Yeah, so you would be surprised at how much time our staff spends folding paperwork between the pharmacy technicians, the pharmacists. So folding and sorting the paperwork to make sure that the right paperwork is with goes to the right veteran. So there's certainly time saved that can be reallocated to other projects in the pharmacy to help enhance the veteran experience. Also, wait times should go down as a result of this project.
Now, obviously, there's a cost savings in paper, printer, you know, the ink, that sort of thing.
Yes.
You know, employee costs, right? That's a big cost savings. postage. I'm assuming there's probably some savings that might happen there if you're not having to put a whole bunch of other paper in with it as well. Or, I mean, maybe we're too early to really realize where all of the cost savings might come into play.
Yeah, so I can speak. I do have some numbers from just printing paper, cartridge, toner cartridges. When we add all of that cost in, so the VA goes through about 20 cases of paper a month alone and about 6 cartridges of toner per month. That alone, so just printer and toner cartridges, will save about $34,000 a year. That's not including any operational costs, so folding the paperwork. I would imagine that the cost of mailing may go down because it's weight-based with the cost, but I don't know that specifically.
Well, I think over time you'll do that analysis because we always want to know, you know, did a decision we make, you know, did it prove to be the right decision? So I think what we'll do is we'll take a quick break here and then we'll talk a little bit more about the implementation of this new QR code and other impacts it might have on our veterans as it relates to getting their prescriptions filled. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me, I have Lisa Anderson and Stephanie Wallach from the Minneapolis VA, and they both are in the pharmacy business out at the Minneapolis VA, and we're talking about this new change to the pharmacy process, and Stephanie, you were talking about, you know, this new QR code, and you know, there's going to be a reduction in paper utilization, things like that, but okay, now there's a QR code on there, right? What am I going to do with it? Like, what's the benefit of having that QR code other than not getting all the other paper? Where am I going to go when I scan that with my phone?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to scan the QR code, you want to put your device about 6 inches away. So you need a smart device. So you'll open your camera. The camera brings up a link that you'll click on, and that'll take you to a web page. So on this web page that opens, there will be a short video that explains what the medication is, side effects, what to expect. That is about 2 to 3 minutes in length, I would say. And then the videos are available in English and Spanish, which is nice. There's a transcript. There's also digital versions of the patient education sheets and medication guides. So that's essentially what we're no longer providing, hard copy. So patients can bring that up if they would like to. But the other really great feature is for injectable medications and inhalers, anything that requires some type of administration, there's a video that explains to them step by step how to use that device. We go through that in the pharmacy when we're counseling patients. So this is not replacing that, but as you know, veterans come in and they see their provider, they're getting a lot of information. Then they're coming down to the pharmacy, they're getting a lot of information. They may not remember step by step what we show them. So once they get home, they have to start using their device. They can pull up this video and watch it step by step and walk them through it.
Well, and let's be honest. If I'm picking up some type of a device or a prescription and you say, do you have any questions? I'm probably going to say, no, I don't. Give me my bag. Let me leave.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so at least you have a resource then on the back end.
Exactly.
You know, now there's no air quotes, right? No embarrassment about not knowing what you should do with it. So,
yeah. The other awesome thing is this is available 24/7 from anywhere. So I was talking to my neighbor when we were starting with this project, and he's a veteran, and he was really excited because he goes to visit his daughter down in California, and he was excited to be able to take this information digitally with him.
Yeah, that's great. Now, Lisa, what's kind of like the timeline? Is this being implemented across VA writ large? Is it a Minneapolis thing, and does it impact all medications?
Yeah, I'll start by talking about the timeline in Minneapolis first. So we already have the QR code on the prescription labels. So that started in December, and it's going to continue indefinitely. During the time before we officially go live and stop printing the paperwork, we're going to be doing events like this where we share information and try to get the word out, right, so that patients are aware that this is a new service that's offered. But May is our target date to turn off the paperwork. The other thing to note is that there are some people who will not be comfortable with the QR code. Paperwork is still an option. You talk to anybody in pharmacy and we'll be able to click a setting in there and indicate that you as a patient do want the paperwork still. So to other VAs, So there's been about 80 VAs across the country who have implemented this system. And what we're hearing from them is a lot of really positive feedback. Most veterans love the program. They hate that paperwork.
Yeah.
They like the fact that they can take it with them. But they're all, we're also seeing that less than 5% people have requested that specific, unique paperwork option to continue. So it's really not – it's really clear that most people prefer this approach. One thing I do want patients to be aware of, though, this is only specific to the Minneapolis VA. So – when you're picking up your prescription from us, you'll see this. For some of your prescriptions that mail from our pharmacy, you will see this. But most of you are probably aware that a large portion of prescriptions come from our mail order pharmacies. Mm-hmm. And they have not yet implemented this program. So with all the new technology that exists in the outpatient prescription world, the way it works across the VA is we will tend to pilot these programs at various sites.
Sure.
Until we can kick them off and really say, okay, yeah, this is a really effective program. And then evaluate it for a national implementation. And that this system is in review at a national level. So you may see eventually mail order pharmacy taking this on. But currently you're only going to see it on the prescriptions that come specifically from our pharmacy.
I wonder if some of the consideration, aside from the savings of paper and ink and stuff, is the being able to secure personal identifiable information as well, right? I mean, so is that still going to be something on a label on the actual container or, you know, what happens as it relates to that? Because now we're not going to have that piece of paper, which is great.
Yeah, that's a great question and a great point to highlight that patient information is not tied to the QR code at all. So we are increasing the patient safety or patient risk, I guess, involved with that. So paperwork has all kinds of patient information on it. This QR code specifically ties to the medication in the bottle that's being filled. So even from the stance of a caregiver scanning the QR code or somebody else on behalf scanning the QR code for the patient, there's no patient information tied. So patient information is more secure.
Yeah, that's got to be a positive thing, especially, you know, Lisa having to, you know, manage this pharmacy and, you know, in healthcare in general, the last thing you want is some type of a data breach or, you know, somebody's information getting out there. So anywhere you can secure additional information must give you a sigh of relief, which you just had a little sigh.
Yes. If you those who couldn't see me, I was nodding. So, you know, patient security, information security is a huge thing for us. And we handle a lot of prescriptions. So just tied to the Minneapolis VA, we dispense right around 1.8 million prescriptions a year. So it's a big volume. And anything we can do to reduce the opportunity or chance for patient information to get out there is a good thing.
All right. So just so we have a couple of our talking points squared away, the process of putting the QR code has already began in December. Stephanie, the QR code is available. You're going to scan it with your phone. It gives you the instructional video.
Yep.
Remind us again, Lisa, our timeline. So in Minneapolis, you already implemented this. We're one of 80 VAs doing this. But when do you want to have it 100% converted to this QR code?
So in Minneapolis, we will have 100% converted. The QR code already exists. So it's there. But we will be turning off the paperwork.
Okay.
In May. Is when you will start seeing some of your prescriptions that come in the mail and then the prescriptions that you pick up at the window will not have that paperwork, will instead have the QR code.
And if for some crazy reason there's someone out there that doesn't have a smartphone yet, they would have an option to still get paperwork.
Absolutely.
And is that how would they do that? How do they make sure that that's an option that's not automatically turned off for them?
Yeah, they can talk to pharmacy in one of two ways, and maybe Steph can go into more specifics. But really, it's either you stop in at the pharmacy and ask about it, and any one of the folks there will be able to help you, or contact our call center.
Okay.
Yep. I wouldn't add anything more to that. Just let us know, and we're happy to add a note to your profile. We can also print on demand. So say you come to the ER, pick up an antibiotic, you just want printed prescription information for that prescription, we can print that when you pick that up.
Okay. And obviously it's still in, you know, we're testing. It's only mm-hmm. been, you know, happening for a little while, less than a month, I would assume. What are some of the, and we only have about a minute and a half left, but have you already seen some great positive responses from your patients? Any negative, so to speak? What, Stephanie, what do you think?
Yeah, I work in areas that are close to our pickup window. So I, again, hear comments from veterans I alluded to before that lots of people ask or wish that we didn't even have the paperwork. But our technicians have started telling veterans that pretty soon this paperwork isn't going to be here. And I can't tell you how many positive comments
you hear. Cheering going on.
Yeah, I personally have not heard any negative comments. I think the question that we're going to get is, if I still want paperwork, how do I get it? And it's as simple as letting one of us know, and we're happy to do that.
That's awesome. All right, Lisa, so we've got 30 seconds of final thoughts, final messages to our Minnesota veterans and veterans across the country that might be hearing this.
I don't have any final thoughts outside of just I'm really, again, very grateful for the opportunity to be able to serve this population. Doing pharmacy work is rewarding to begin with, and being able to do it in the VA is it's a pleasure and a joy, and I'm very blessed to be able to have that opportunity for my career.
All right, Stephanie, 10 seconds.
All right, same thing. I love serving the veterans. I'm really excited for this enhancement, and I love serving the veterans.
That's awesome. Well, hey, we're looking forward to seeing the implemented changes be fully, put across the board and seeing, the good results, this cost savings and everything like that. So Lisa Anderson, Stephanie Wallach, appreciate you both for coming in to Minnesota Military Radio and sharing this new pharmacy update. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
You bet.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. And in this segment, we'll start off. We're going to talk to Dr. Wei Lee, who serves as the Chief of Vascular Surgery out at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Dr. Lee, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you again, Doc, for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And, you get to come into the studio here today, spend some time with us. You've got two separate programs that you're going to talk about, one of them in this segment and then the second in the next segment. But before we introduce the programs, I'm just wondering if you can tell us a little bit about you. You're not new to the VA, but you're new to Minneapolis. So welcome to this cold climate. We're glad that you're here. What brought you to Minneapolis?
Thank you for having me. Actually, what brought me in the city here, because I'm not old. Stranger to the VA. I've been with the VA even when I was in training about 15 years ago. Started with from the Pittsburgh VA. And then I start as a practicing vascular surgeon. I was in St. Louis VA in Missouri. And then I went to Maryland VA. And then the last one, but not least, was Syracuse VA, which was not warm either.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Then I came to the here. Our VA, and then so I've been working with VA for some time, and then in this program, I think we are not only a big hospital, we're also the 5-star hospital by the CMS.
Yeah, you sure are. The director, Director Pat Kelly, talked about that, and that's a huge, huge deal to be able to get that type of a rating. So that's awesome. Well, we want to make sure we capitalize on the amount of time that we have in this first segment here together to talk about the first program. And you brought somebody in to really talk through the program and share with us what it is. So maybe if you could do an introduction of who you brought in to talk about this PAVE program, and we'll spell it out in a second. But who'd you bring in with us today?
Next to me is Don Striff, who is our senior nurse practitioner for this PAVE program. And the PAVE program stands for Prevention of Amputation in Veterans Everywhere.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Don. We appreciate it. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, like all good doctors or leaders do, they tee it up and then they turn it over to you. And now you get to spend the next 7 minutes or so sharing with us a little bit about PAVE. And again, it's the Prevention of Amputation in Veterans Everywhere. And maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what is that? What the heck does that mean?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me again. So the PAVE program has actually been within the VA for over 30 years, and it's really focused on what can we do to help veterans so that they don't have any amputations. And patients with certain diseases are more prone to or more likely to have amputations. So that's our diabetic patients, patients who have had foot problems in the past or circulation problems. And so it's kind of there's a lot of different disciplines and different staff who help as part of that program to reduce amputations. And then the new part that we've added to it in the last couple of years is called the TelePave program. And that program is some additional support to the most high-risk patients. So that's going to be our patients who have multiple chronic conditions like diabetes and neuropathy, and they have some circulation disorders, things like that. And so we're also able to provide these services via telehealth or phone or in person. So we're really trying to improve our reach for the patients and the modalities that we can use with it.
All right. You're really going to have to dumb this down for me. Okay. So what's the benefit? I mean, like how do you really administer something like this to provide the support and really make the hit the marks that you want to hit as it relates to the program?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We do some outreach to the patients who we think are kind of the highest risk, or providers, their primary care provider can refer them to our program. But it's really pretty simple in practice. So we will meet with these patients if they want to, and we take this proactive approach to working with them to make sure that they have are kind of in good health overall. So we do a lot of education about how to take care of their feet and things that are going to improve the health of their feet overall, which is things like keeping their blood pressure down, their cholesterol down, and their blood sugar. And all of those things are going to have a long-term impact on their overall health and their feet and risk of amputation.
So what I'm hearing is let's just say I'm receiving care out at the Minneapolis VA and I happen to be diabetic. And we know one of the things that can happen with someone who has diabetes, if it progresses, amputation is a risk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so you use a proactive approach then to reach out to the person so they understand what the risks might be, but then how they can combat those risks.
Exactly.
And I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm guessing you don't get a lot of pushback from patients either then.
Not usually. Most patients have received it very well, and they like the proactive approach. They like it that we're screening for things and doing some education and not waiting for it to become a big problem.
And remind me again, other than diabetes, what are some of the other things that you're really screening for that might lead to a risk of amputation?
Sure. So it's patients who have already maybe had an amputation because of an accident or something else that's happened in the past, even if it's a minor amputation like, you know, one toe or something like that. So those patients are going to be at higher risk for amputation. And then patients who have had other problems with their feet, and it could be orthopedic problems too, but just a lot of foot surgeries and other problems with their feet in that regard.
And so is this a personal evaluation? So maybe you're looking at some records or something like that. How does Dr. Lee earn his paycheck as it relates to this? Like, when do you bring him into this conversation?
Sure. Good question. So I start with the patients first, and we're doing screening and just looking overall at their situation. And then if the patient starts to develop any symptoms of a problem, that is when I usually get Dr. Lee involved or another available surgeon. And so that's when patients are having symptoms like they're having kind of poor blood flow to their feet, and that they might notice that by a lot of pain in their feet, or they might have sores on their feet or wounds that don't heal very well. So at that point, I have them see the surgeon if they're agreeable to that, and then Dr. Lee sees them.
Yeah, and you mentioned the feet a lot, so I'm assuming then that it really the feet is really the major area you're concerned about as it relates to amputation?
Yes, as far as amputation goes, yes. So I do talk with the patients also about their overall circulation. So we do talk about other arteries in the body as well. So the feet are the thing we're most focused on. But, you know, there's arteries in the neck that can become can have decreased blood flow as well due to plaque buildup. And then there's other arteries in the like the aorta and the stomach and areas like that.
So let's just say there's someone out there that just isn't heeding your warning. And so they blew it off, and now they're going to have some extremity amputated. They go, they have that done. Do they still come back into your care somehow, some way? Or what happens to a person or a patient after that?
Yes, usually they would. So once they have kind of resolved the problem that they had, and that's all healed up and it's done with, then they can come back and see me again, and I can continue to work with them so that we hopefully prevent any more issues like that from happening in the future.
We have a short amount of time left, and I think everybody's got success stories. So do you have some story that just sticks out in your mind of someone you're able to work with where you helped them maybe prevent some type of amputation?
Yes. So I can actually think of a couple of patients. It wasn't an amputation, but a couple of patients who started having a lot of pain in their feet and legs when they just wanted to hike and they wanted to run and they wanted to do these things that they had been able to do and they could no longer do. And it was, in fact, a circulation issue. And so we were able to get them with one of the surgeons, and they were able to improve that blood flow so they could get back to doing what they loved.
All right. So there's got to be a big takeaway here then. What is it?
I think just the main takeaway for our patients is, you know, paying really good attention to your feet and talk to your primary doctor about it at least once a year. And if they think they would be a benefit of from the PAVE program, then they can ask their doctor to refer them over.
That's awesome. All right. Well, it's great to hear that resources like this exist out at the Minneapolis VA. Being proactive is extremely important, because we can solve a lot of problems if we don't wait until it becomes a big problem. So that's awesome. Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming in, Dawn, and letting Dr. Lee force you to come in and spend some time with me and speak about the PAVE program. And, you know, we hope that it continues to help. We know it will help our veterans that you all serve out at the Minneapolis VA.
Thank you very much.
You bet. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is Dr. Wei Lee, the Chief of Vascular Surgery out at the Minneapolis VA. Dr. Lee, in the last segment, obviously we had Dawn on talking about a pretty important program, the PAVE program, and you've got another program you want to talk about. But one of the things I'd like to ask you is, you know, these are two programs that you're in charge of. But it's not just you, it's not just Dawn, it's not just our next guest, Shannon, you're going to introduce in a second. You've got a bunch of people really helping you out on these programs, don't you?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And three of us here as a provider, but I think the entire program success relies on the teamwork, heavily on teamwork, especially for vascular surgery patients, not only from our team, but also all the specialty colleagues in the VA. And I think that our next program is called FIRM Programs, which is the follow-up initiative for the recovery, retention, and management of patients. And here I have Shannon over the telephone line, and she is another senior nurse practitioner in our service.
Awesome. Shannon Harper, nurse practitioner, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad to have you here calling in to talk about this program. And again, it's called FIRM, which is Follow-Up Initiative for the Recovery, Retention, and Management of Patients. Before we talk a little bit about the program, FIRM, I understand that you are a veteran yourself, or you served in our military, didn't you?
I sure did, yes. I spent some years in the Army Reserve. I enlisted in February of 2001 as a practical nurse and medic back when I think it was like a 91 Charlie. And then in 2004, I took my commission into the Nurse Corps.
Awesome. And how long have you been at the Minneapolis VA?
I joined the Minneapolis VA in 2019 as a part of their surgical intensive care program. And I did part-time surgical intensive care. And then the other part of my time was on the inpatient orthopedic post-operative patients.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your service to our country. Appreciate that. And of course, thanks for what you do to take care of our veterans out at the Minneapolis VA. So FIRM, again, follow-up initiative for the recovery, retention, and management of patients. Now, that's the last time I'm going to spell it out. It's easier to say FIRM, but maybe you can just kind of go in some details and tell us about the program and really what are you trying to accomplish with the implementation of FIRM?
Yeah, sure. So the program focuses on veterans who have had a procedure with the vascular surgery department at the Minneapolis VA. Some veterans have procedures outside of the VA but choose to transfer their care to the vascular service at the VA Minneapolis. Those procedures are specific to the aorta, which is the large vessel in the abdomen chest area, and the large arteries in the legs. And when they have those procedures, it is recommended that they have lifelong surveillance to make sure the grafts are usually, or bypasses is usually the procedure that's done, remain functioning. And so to do that, we do surveillance on an annual basis typically. We do some imaging to make sure, like I said, the bypass or graft is in place. We review that imaging and then discuss it with the veteran annually. And sometimes that surveillance is done on different intervals if needed.
And the people that you care for had to have had some type of treatment already as it relates to vascular, or is there some preemptive things as well?
No, all of the veterans that I care for have had a vascular a surgical intervention.
Okay, and then kind of talk me through, you mentioned like, some imaging and things like that. So, all right, they have this procedure that relates to vascular, and they're going to start coming to see you annually. Is this in addition to a full physical? Is it very targeted to specific things? What kind of care is someone getting at that annual checkup with you or somebody on your staff?
Sure. So it's very specific to where the intervention took place. And so the imaging could be a CAT scan or an ultrasound. And we look at how the vessel is, blood is flowing through the vessel, and making sure that the vessel or the area that has been had the intervention is however that intervention was done. So if the bypass or the graft was done in a certain way, that it's functioning as intended. And you can see that through either the CAT scan or the ultrasound. And then we have a meeting with that veteran, a clinic follow-up. Our clinic is a telehealth clinic, and so it's either done via video or phone. And we discuss any symptoms the veteran might be having that could be related to that procedure. And then we discuss the results of the imaging. And then if any plans need to take place, then we discuss that and move forward with those.
And so as you go through these reviews, these checkups, and you're looking for, things that might be out of the ordinary, when would you bring Dr. Lee back into the mix to make sure that the proper care or, any issues that might have been identified are properly cared for? How does he get reinvolved back in with these patients?
Oh, yeah. So typically, if there's changes on the imaging, I will discuss those with Dr. Lee and or other vascular surgeons who's ever available, or sometimes specifically the vascular surgeon who did the procedure on the veteran, if those changes in the imaging are concerning. And so that would be before the appointment. So I kind of have a plan going into the appointment of what that vascular surgeon would want to have the veteran do next. And then if it's more of the imaging hasn't changed much, but the vascular symptoms have changed, so the veteran has changes in their symptoms. For example, if they had some type of bypass done in one of their legs, and they're starting to have what we like to call claudication pain, but it's pain when they, walk short distances, or pain at night when they're resting, or, calf cramping, or some type of pain to indicate they're not getting enough oxygen to the leg, then I would bring in Dr. Lee and or other vascular surgeons after or during that appointment that I'm having with the veteran.
And Dr. Lee, I'm wondering if this program firm, is this something unique to the VA, or is this something that is a common practice with other hospitals? Do you know?
I think a VA is kind of pioneer for telehealth, even when I was in training about 15, 20 years ago. And right now it's getting more and more popular since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think the VA, we have a good model. And I think other people are utilized as well, especially veterans. We have in this city, sometimes even in Florida, veteran travel during this time,
right,
and we can still check on.
Yeah, and so Shannon, back to you. You had mentioned that you do these annual checkups. Is this something that will then go on for the rest of the veteran's life, or is there like an end date on when you no longer have to have an annual checkup to do this imaging and stuff?
Yeah, sure. So it's a lifelong surveillance program. However, I will say, veterans have the right at any time to choose not to seek surveillance. And for example, I had a 91-year-old veteran recently, and he and his family questioned during our last appointment of the need to continue to go to appointments and have, different types of imaging done, because they had decided that at his age, they wouldn't want to seek any further care if he had some changes. So for them, they needed to weigh the quality of life over having more interventions and procedures. And so it is lifelong, but there is always the option for veterans to choose to no longer participate in the program.
We've got about 30 seconds here. Is there one story that comes to mind for you of someone you've helped?
Yeah, we had a gentleman lately that Dr. Lee and I worked on. He had joined the VA recently in 2023. He said the VA saved his life. When he had his first PCP visit, they found his cardiac need for cardiac surgery, and then also an aortic aneurysm that we repaired, and most recently found due to his surveillance infirm that he has artery in his leg that needs to have some surveillance ongoing. So for that gentleman, he's very grateful to all the care that we've given him here at the Minneapolis VA.
Yep, the recommendation is follow your doctor's advice. Get that care as you need it. Shannon, thanks so much for joining us. And Dr. Lee, thanks for coming in and bringing your guests and talking about both these important programs out at the Minneapolis VA.
Thank you again.
You bet. Before we close out the show, I want to let you know that the next Food Pantry for Veterans is on Tuesday, January 20th at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center from 10 to 2. This event takes place every third Tuesday of the month. Thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Next week, we get an update from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Today's show and all previous shows can be found on MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and that you find a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so that we can enjoy all the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.